This is Andy Thomas from the Masculine Journey podcast, where we discover what it means to be a wholehearted man. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network. Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into Kingdom Pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
How much fun we are going to have today on Kingdom Pursuits. I'm so excited about it. We have some amazing guests. And just to start off with, we have Todd Nettleton. And Todd, you may know as the voice of the Voice of the Martyrs. I'm sure you're often described as that, right, Todd?
That is a high honor to be called that, so thank you.
Yeah, it really is a neat thing that God has taken you on this adventure to hear so many amazing stories, especially for such a time as this, right?
It is, and I have had the chance over the last 22 years to sit down literally with hundreds of Christians who have gone through persecution and just ask them questions and hear their stories, and then in situations like this, be able to kind of pass on some of the wisdom that they have learned through those hard experiences.
Yeah, it's an absolutely amazing thing, and clearly God gifted you to be able to both listen, but also to find God in the story.
Yeah, I think I listen as an American Christian. I have never been persecuted. I don't anticipate that I will be persecuted. Maybe God has that in mind for me. But so I listen as an American Christian and just try to suss out, you know, what are the lessons? What can I take home and do that this person is doing? What lessons can I learn from them? And then thankfully, I have opportunities to share with other American Christians, and hopefully we learn from those who have suffered for Christ because they have so much to teach us.
Oh, yeah, they do. And so the cool thing for us listening today is we all get a chance to learn from what Todd has gleaned from years and years and years of being able to hear these stories. And so I don't know about you, but I'm just beyond thrilled. And when you have that together with, we've got Peggy, and I've had Peggy on several times. I always struggle with the last name. I think it's Consolver. Am I right, Peggy?
That is good, yes.
Ah, for once. And Peggy is an author, and she wrote The Star Namer, The Unchosen. It's her last, that I think is released recently. Was it?
Last fall.
But the way Peggy describes, and I love the way she describes her novels, she says they're Bible studies disguised as novels. So isn't that cool? That's kind of what God gave you as a passion, right, Peggy? Really is just a love for the Word of God and being able to do that in a story form through a novel.
Yes. And actually, I insert the word action novel because I see young people who think they've heard it all by the time they're in the seventh grade. But there's more to it.
There's a lot of action. But I know Peggy has been, I think I've had Todd on a couple times, but you may recall, I know Peggy recalls that I've got to do my riddles.
Okay.
So speaking of study, right, being a car guy, when I got cancer, they sent me to the oncologist. And I thought, what does the study of car horns have to do with cancer? That's oncology, huh?
Oh, okay. I was waiting for more. Okay.
And I thought, you know, maybe I should run faster than a roadrunner, like, you know, beep, beep. You know, oncology. Okay. Ooh. I milked that one pretty good, don't you think, Peggy? Come on.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Good lady.
She is. So, and you may not know this, but Peggy taught gravity before she started studying the Bible, you know.
She did?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
She knew the students would fall for it, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I thought maybe you were referring to my son's question when he was 5 years old. He said, Mama, did you know that all the women of the Bible have sinned? I said, I mean, all the women of the world have sinned. I said, well, yes, but what about the men? Jesus never sinned.
There you go. So, your son is got that. So
they bring their own riddles now.
Well, yeah, you might. Yeah. So next, Peggy went for, you know, studying fungus because she felt it would really help mold those young minds.
That was cute.
As opposed to chemistry, where they were just out of their element. So you knew.
Save the best for last, Peggy, didn't he?
Yeah. At the end of all that, we do have an actual riddle you can call in and win today. So, you know, the study of Jesus' genealogy is a basic requirement for a decent education or a decent education. How do you want to say that? So which women, you know, since Peggy brought up women, here we go. Which women are listed in Jesus' genealogy? So we can have a number of winners today. There's one that I think is glaringly obvious. But there's other women. 866-348-7884 if you could mention a woman in Jesus' genealogy. And if you can do that, Beth Ann, tell them what they'll win.
Oh, Robbie, we're going to go deep into the Kingdom Pursuits prize closet and grab a book, maybe a t-shirt, a coffee cup. We got some good stuff in there.
Yeah, we always try to make the prize, you know, in alignment with how great your answer is. So, you know, we've got some great stuff, and we want to see you get it. You can call in at 866-348-7884. Here we go. So, you know, Todd, in this season, are you seeing some different kind of stories coming out of the Voice of the Martyrs?
You know, I don't know that we're seeing different stories, but I think one of the things we're seeing, and I actually just recorded an interview yesterday for Voice of the Martyrs Radio about China. And, you know, we talk about the coronavirus going on. We believe it came from China. And you would think that the Chinese government would be so focused on coronavirus that they wouldn't have time to persecute Christians. My contact that I was discussing this with said, no, actually the persecution has kept right on through the coronavirus and even picked up a little bit. The persecution that we're seeing in China right now is the worst we have seen in a generation. In fact, Chinese Christians hearken back to the Cultural Revolution, the last time it was this difficult for Christians in China. So we are seeing some of the same things. Nigeria as well. Nigeria went on a national lockdown, and you would think, well, there'll be less attacks on Christians in northern Nigeria with everyone staying home. But instead, we have seen repeated attacks from Boko Haram, from Fulani Muslims. And so the persecution has kept right on going, even with the world fighting a pandemic.
Wow. Is there one of those that jumps out at you that you could kind of share with us a little of what actually happened?
Well, you know, one of the stories that is on my heart is a pastor from China. His church was closed down at the end of 2018. The church was raided. The government came in and said, hey, you cannot meet anymore. The pastor was arrested. Several of the deacons were arrested. And in December, the pastor, a man named Wang Yi, was sentenced to 9 years in prison simply for leading an unregistered church, an illegal church in China. And the interesting thing about Wang Yi and about his church is they were very open about what they were doing. They actually put their services online. He put his sermons on YouTube. It wasn't like they were trying to hide. They simply said, hey, we're a church. We're worshiping Jesus Christ. This is not a political act. We're not trying to overthrow our government. We're just worshiping Jesus and studying the Bible together. When he was arrested, a letter was released after that, and it's fascinating to me how he had prepared for persecution to come. And that letter said, you know, this letter is going to be released if I'm arrested. So he knew that was a possibility. He had thought about it. he had thought about
Todd,
what
I hate to break in on you, but that music means we're going to go to a break, so we're going to find out about this letter. I'm very excited to learn about this letter, actually. When we come back, we've got so much more Kingdom Pursuits coming up with Peggy, talking about, believe me, the Star Namer and the Unchosen. We haven't even started there, and we're going to find out about this letter, but we need your call. You know those women in Jesus' genealogy, 866-34-TRUTH. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today, we are so excited to have with us Todd Nettleton, the voice of the martyrs, as well as Peggy Consolver. She is the author of The Star Namer and The Unchosen, and her novels, she calls them action novels, are actually Bible studies disguised as novels. You can find both and all their information, Todd's bio, and all sorts of information on Voice of the Martyrs at kingdompursuits.com. So it's all available, and you still have time to call in. I'm shocked, Bethann, that nobody has guessed my riddle. 866-348-7884. You know, which women were in Jesus' genealogy? I thought this was one of the simplest I've had in a long time. I'm shocked, but hey, we got stuff. All you got to do is call us. 866-348-7884. I know we left you hanging on this letter from Todd, but before we go there, I was going to talk to Peggy for a minute and ask her about the Star Namer, the Unchosen. Who is the Star Namer?
The Star Namer is the name that my characters, who are a real people group in Joshua chapter 9, so I made up the Star Namer, but I believe from what they actually said to Joshua that they were looking for someone besides those idols that the people around them were worshiping. And so I believe from the names of the stars, which is an interesting study, that they saw the qualities of one of the names of the stars in Joshua's God.
Oh, so when you said that that's an interesting study, had you seen something in the names of the stars that you felt like was interesting?
Yes. I have read a book by, I think it's E.W. Bullinger, about Witness of the Stars. And in there, he names the star, which we see as Alpha Centauri now. That's what it's called, but you can look that up. And this star in the ancient Middle Eastern language meant the heretofore and the hereafter.
Mm.
And so, having been told the name of some of these stars in the constellations, at the campfires, around the campfires, when the people would meet, who knows the heretofore and the hereafter? We don't know. We barely know what happened yesterday. We certainly don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And so I think they camped on that name and counted on that there was someone who named that star. Who named that star? That star they didn't actually know.
Wow, that's beautiful. Like the heavens declare the glory of God, kind of. No doubt. Bible study. That's beautiful. Well, the good news is, it is, Peggy, that we have lots of riddlers all of a sudden that are calling in. First off, we have Steve is in Charlotte this morning. Steve, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I am excited. I'm so excited. So have you got a guess for us? Yeah.
I do. I know the first one in the genealogy, but not including Eve, okay?
Right.
We're not talking about her. Right. That would be Ruth,
oh, that's
the Moabite
good.
Woman who was married to Boaz.
She is.
That would be the first one, in my opinion.
Really?
Yes, because he is from the lineage of David.
Right.
And Boaz, of course, was very well known about in the time of David, because they named one of the pillars at Solomon's temple the Pillar of Boaz.
You're right. You're exactly right.
So Ruth, I would be, it's kind of crazy that Jesus' lineage comes from the Moabites, which were an incredibly cruel and evil group of people. But God can do anything, so he's, that's my opinion, of course. I'd like to hear what your thoughts on that are, but I think it's Ruth.
My immediate thought is, you know, if you had a genealogy without Ruth, you know what I'm thinking that would be, Beth Ann?
What's that?
It would be ruthless.
Yeah. I knew a riddle was on the way.
Yeah, hardy hard. I didn't know we were doing.
No, I. You know, my mind just goes to these horrible places. What can I say? But no, I think that you're exactly right, and I think that from my perspective, that is one of the most beautiful stories of faithfulness.
It's one of my favorite stories. In the Bible, and it's another one of those stories that talks of the coming of Christ.
It sure is.
It's all filled with, here I come.
It really, really is. Thank you, Steve. That's awesome. God bless you. Well, you are going to enjoy. We're going to get a good one for you. So something in the prize closet for you. God bless. Thank you for listening, Steve. God bless.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
God bless you.
Thank you. All right. Next up, we have Georgia. Georgia Marsh, who is also in Charlotte. So we're knocking them dead in Charlotte today. We got all sorts of people calling in. Georgia, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Good morning. I was thinking about the descendants of Jesus, which was, you know, Perez.
Yeah.
Perez. That was Perez. And Tamar.
There you go.
Mother. Okay, Tamar. And then we have...
Bob, don't mention anymore because there's other people calling. You've already won because you mentioned Tamar.
And yeah, Tamar.
Which you pronounced Tamar, which, you know, it's up for discussion. I think you're probably right. But Tamar, what a story. Like, you know, Ruth is quite a story, but Tamar, oh my goodness. I mean, that would make, that's a story of stories right there. Like, oh, wow. How could that story be in the Bible? But it's just, isn't it beautiful that God shares stories like Tamar, where here's this woman just trying to do what's right and being held down by a culture that really doesn't see women the way that obviously Jesus did.
Right.
So I think that the fact that she made the genealogy is beyond beautiful.
Yes.
And that Judah was, you know, the actual father of Perez, as you mentioned, and it showed his weakness. So, you know, it's really cool. That's so beautiful. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Georgia. God bless you. You also are a winner. I got a good prize for you. It's coming.
Thank you,
Georgia. God bless. All right, we got Ken is in Colfax, North Carolina. Ken, you're on, if I can get the right button to go down. Ken, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Good morning.
I am so grateful that you called.
I think Rahab was in there before Ruth. You know, she was a harlot like Tamar, or Tamar played the harlot. But, you know, Rahab came out of Jericho, and she married Solomon. Solomon and her beget Boaz. But I really called to ask Brother Nettleton a question. Is he still on there?
Oh, he most certainly is on here. So, Todd, Ken's got a question for you, but you're absolutely right about Rahab. And so you think it was pronounced Solomon, and I always thought it was Salmon, but you're saying Solomon?
You're right. I used to get it mixed up with Solomon.
Well, ask Todd, because he's a lot smarter than both of us.
You used the word shocking somehow in that riddle. I can't remember, but I was very shocked when I read the genealogies in Matthew and came across Rahab.
Yeah, that's a shocker, isn't it, Todd?
Yeah.
Jesus can use anybody.
Yeah.
So, Ken, what's your question for Todd?
I listen to you every Saturday. In fact, Lord willing, I'll be listening to you this afternoon.
Thank you.
I also listened to Stand in the Gap. And I think it was Thursday, which their program is delayed a day. They were discussing, I don't know if you know Sam Rohr, but he heads up that pastor's thing. And they were talking with some people from China. You mentioned China when you first came on. And they were talking about, I mean, we know about all the persecution. And this new leader, he shut down all the churches. But they were talking about they are harvesting people, body parts, and selling them. They've had their DNA. And when, I mean, it sounded like a, you know, a butcher shop type thing. Have you heard anything about that?
We have heard stories of the sale of organs. Even 20 years ago, there were, you know, kidneys available, and we do believe some of those came from prisoners. But the surveillance state in China, you mentioned the DNA. Part of what they're doing to fight against the coronavirus, I put that in air quotes, what they say they're doing to fight against the coronavirus is collecting DNA on citizens.
Yeah.
And so they are putting together a surveillance state with information. They also have cameras everywhere, literally. I've heard 600 million cameras with facial recognition. So they are putting together something that I think even George Orwell would have been uncomfortable with.
Wow.
Yeah, and I think with the worldwide vaccine, they're anticipating on doing that here in our country.
It's kind of scary stuff. Well, thank you, Ken, for your call and for your question and for listening. We appreciate it so much. So we got to go to another break, and you may be thinking I forgot about the letter, but I haven't forgot about the letter. Todd's going to share about that when we come back. And I might mention that, and I see some other people calling in, that there might be another answer to, you know, women in the genealogies is maybe the most obvious. 866-348-7884. Stay tuned. More Kingdom Pursuits coming up. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. We are so blessed, really, to have with us today Todd Nettleton. He's the voice of the Voice of the Martyrs, and we're going to get to him in a second. We got Peggy Consolver, the author of The Star Namer and The Unchosen. These are action novels. They're Bible studies disguised as novels. But next up, we actually have with us today, I'm so excited, we have my good friend Amy Cabo. And I cannot tell you, I've had a chance to meet Amy and her husband Boris. I've known him now for a little over a year. I wish every listener could meet Amy and Boris. They have such joy. Like, oh my goodness, this must be Jesus. This is grace. This is what it feels like to be in the presence of somebody who loves people well. And so I'm so excited on your show today. You're kind of going with that, right, Amy? You're talking to James Beverly about God and grit and, from what I understand, determination.
Yeah, it's amazing that I get this opportunity, that God has been so good to me, that he's given me a platform. Because I realized that we're all suffering several things. So today I want to discuss grit, determination, and buoyancy. We're all capable of this, but how can we obtain it if it's lacking? And where does it come from? I believe it comes from hope. And a sense of hope can only be derived from faith in the greater plan.
There you go. And you may be wondering, what time does this come on? Well, 1 o'clock today, if you know, that's the deal. And it's a live show. That's a beautiful thing that Amy shares this stuff live. So, you know, what an opportunity for our listeners to call in and share what they're feeling, you know, about the current situations that they're dealing with in their lives. Well, that same number you called in here, 866-348-7884. Thank you, Amy, for sharing and for being on the station at 1.
Thank you, Robbie. God bless.
God bless. Bye-bye. So, Todd, I know I've held it way too long to hear the story of the letter. Didn't anticipate it being this long, but hey, I'm still dying to know about the letter. I guess you better set up the story a little bit first for those who are just tuning in.
Well, this is a letter that was written by Pastor Wang Yi, who is the leader of Early Rain Covenant Church. He was arrested at the end of 2018. At the end of 2019, he was sentenced to 9 years in prison. So he is in prison right now in China, serving that nine-year sentence. But he had written this letter before his arrest because he knew that was a possibility, and he wanted to let his congregation and also the world know that, he was ready. He was willing to suffer for Jesus Christ. He had thought about it. He had planned it. I would encourage people, you can find this letter online, but let me just read some highlights. One of my favorite parts is where he talks about the people who will interrogate him, the police, the officials, the prison guards. He said, "Those who hold me will be detained by angels. The person who interrogates me will eventually be interrogated by Christ. With this in mind, the Lord has made me sympathetic and sad to those who are trying and who are holding me. Ask the Lord," he says, "pray for me to use me and give me patience and wisdom to bring the gospel to them." So even before he was arrested, he knew there would be people who would interrogate him, people who would question him, and he was already thinking about, hey, this is my opportunity to be a witness to them, to share the gospel with them. Please pray for me that I will be able to use that opportunity well. That's the thought process that he had counted the cost. He had already decided, when I get arrested, I'm not going to be depressed. I'm not going to feel like God has forgotten about me. I'm going to say, hey, this person on the other side of the table is someone that Jesus died for, and this is their chance to hear about it because I'm here with them.
Wow. And, you know, when you think about the beauty of what you just heard, is this pastor knew ahead of time to write this letter. So the Holy Spirit kind of told him, and when I think about this, there was a pretty famous apostle. He wrote one or two letters from jail. That his name was Paul, as you might, or Peter, excuse me. No, it was Paul. Paul, Peter got out, you know, in the middle of the night, and Paul wrote the letters. But the other thing that occurs to me is that in our American history, there's some beautiful letters. If you've never read them, Martin Luther King Jr. wrote letters from a Birmingham jail. And they were written to the church. I mean, literally to us. And if you want some wonderful reading, it's also available online. But he knew that God would come in and he would hear what was going on and things would change in Birmingham. And certainly, you know, that was one of the step in the many step processes that we are enjoying right now. So, wow, Todd, what a moment in history, another letter from jail.
It is. And I, you know, the thing that inspires me, and I think a lesson maybe for us as American Christians, is this whole idea of counting the cost ahead of time. He knew he could be arrested. He was willing to be arrested, but he had thought through all of that ahead of time. And so he'd already made the decision of how he would respond. Like I say, I think there might be a lesson for us as American Christians about just thinking ahead and counting the cost and understanding, hey, what is it worth to advance the kingdom of Christ? Is it worth my discomfort? Is it worth my feeling picked on? Is it worth my going to jail? Yes, it's worth all those things, and we can count that cost ahead of time.
Oh, it's just beautiful because it so glorifies God. I mean, it really, it's like, wow, what an opportunity, which really, you've told me before in other chances we've had to talk, that these people that are martyrs don't feel like, you know, they feel like they've been given this unbelievable opportunity, right?
They see it as a blessing and as a mark of honor that God would entrust me with the privilege of dying for Christ. What an amazing honor. And that is a scriptural thing as well. You know, I think of Hebrews chapter 11, the so-called Hall of Faith chapter. In the middle of that chapter, there's a line that says, "Of whom the world was not worthy." Literally, these people who gave their lives for Christ were too good for this world. That's how the Bible talks about these. And when you hear their stories and when you hear how they respond to suffering, you sense that they kind of feel that way too. Like, wow, this is such an amazing blessing and privilege for God to give me this opportunity.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And Peggy, getting back to your book, you know, this the I was just wondering, as you were listening to that, what were some of your reflections?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I believe it from what I read in the Bible, the quotes from the Gibeonites, I just believe there are so many unexpected gems of grace in the Word that we often skip over, and we don't realize the depth of His glory and grace.
Yeah, it's a treasure map, and that to dig up those gems is just to sit back and look at them and like go, oh, wow, look what I found. So share one of those with us, Peggy.
Well, it has to. One of them has to do with race. In that, in the book of Genesis, where Noah curses Ham's grandson, Canaan, and says that they will be slaves to Shem. Well, then when you, if you read the descendants of Canaan, the Hivites are named amongst Canaan's sons. You go to Joshua chapter 9, and in, okay, the story is in 9 and 10. In there, this people group is usually called Gibeonites, but they're also referred to as Hivites. So, they were those who were destined to become slaves, and that is what happens in the story. They were cursed to be woodcutters and water carriers for the house of God for the rest of their days. But in that, God saved them from just the destruction that all the other Amorites got.
Oh, we're going to get to the saving part when we get back. So we got to go to a break. We'll be right back with more of Kingdom Pursuits with Todd Nettleton and Peggy Consover. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And today we're so blessed to have two individuals exactly like that. We have Peggy Consover, the author of The Star Namer and The Unchosen, which she does action novels, Bible studies disguised as novels. And Todd Nettleton is really, wow, just what an honor to have him on here. He is the voice of martyrs. He's been doing this a long time, and I think all the cool things that God has entrusted him with on the air to share these amazing stories so current Christians can find out, you know, what like biblical history stuff is going on in our own time. It's absolutely amazing. So, Peggy, when we left our hero, God was fixed to free these slaves in the book of Joshua.
He was fixing to bestow His ultimate grace on them, and they were saved by just siding with God, and I believe they counted it a privilege to serve Him and to get to know Him. But the thing that this teaches us is that many people through history have rationalized their sin of taking slaves by the curse of Noah, that they were cursed by Noah to become slaves. But when you see the prophecy of Noah being fulfilled in the Gibeonites in Joshua 9 and 10, I do not believe there is any other necessary slavery to be had. It's all man's sin.
Well, there's no doubt there. We're all made in the image of God, and oh my goodness, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like to enslave somebody that's in the image of God, I can't. It's beyond my thinking for sure. But that's a beautiful That's a beautiful devotion that you have right there inside. It's the book is called The Star Namer, The Unchosen. It's right there at kingofpursuits.com. And Todd, I know we don't have a whole lot more time, maybe a couple more minutes. If you got another story that you could share with our listeners?
Well, I would encourage people to go to persecution.com, which is the main Voice of the Martyrs website. On Monday, we are honoring those who laid down their life for Christ. June 29th, according to church history, is the day the Apostle Paul was executed outside the city of Rome. Every year we do the Day of the Christian Martyr, and we provide some resources. There's a video. There's some downloadable resources for maybe a Sunday school class teacher or a small group leader. This year we're honoring Pastor John Paul Sankagui. He was killed in the Central African Republic in 2017. He planted a church in a Muslim neighborhood there in 1993. He served the church faithfully for more than 20 years. In 2017, there was a civil war going on. Many of his church members and even his own family said, "Hey, Pastor John Paul, maybe we should go somewhere else for a while. Maybe we should back off." And he said, "No, God has called me to this church. What would it say to my church members if when hard times came, I left? It would say the wrong thing. It would say that I'm falling back." And so he stayed. On February 7th, 2017, he was martyred. He was killed by Islamic militia members who came into that Muslim neighborhood and said, "We don't want a church here." They killed the pastor. They looted the parsonage. They looted the church. And then they burned both of them to the ground. So we are honoring the memory of Pastor John Paul and his faithfulness, not only on February 7th, 2017, when he was killed, but for all those 20-plus years before that, where he faithfully served in a difficult circumstance, in a difficult situation, but he faithfully served Christ right up to the day where he was given the opportunity to lay down his life for Jesus Christ.
Wow. And so, you know, I just hate to claim my own ignorance, but I did not know that was National Martyr Day. Share with our listeners again what that's called and how they can get to it.
Day of the Christian Martyr. It's at persecution.com, which is the main Voice of the Martyrs website. We have all those Day of the Christian Martyr resources. There's a link right at the top of that page. But it's a day where we honor the memory of those who gave their lives for Christ. But also we hope we inspire American Christians. You know, I think every story of a persecuted Christian that we hear or read, we ask ourselves, okay, what would I do in that situation? And I think that's a great question to ask because it drives us into the scripture. It drives us to pray and say, "Lord, boy, I want to say that I would be faithful, even with a gun in my face. Help me. Help me to have that kind of courage." So that's what Day of the Christian Martyr is about. And again, it's next Monday, so if you're in a church or a Sunday school class, probably tomorrow is the day to remember that. And all of those resources are at persecution.com. They are free. They're digital, so you can download them. And we want people to honor the memory, but we want people to be inspired by the faithfulness of people like Pastor John Paul in Central African Republic.
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful, Todd. Thank you so much for that. And you know, Peggy's got a number of other books besides, right? Peggy, what are the other books you can mention real quick because we got to go in a few seconds?
I got a study guide for the first one, Shepherd, Potter, Spy, and the Star Namer. There will soon be coming out a study guide for the second one, The Star Namer and the Unchosen. I have a picture book of Casey's question, "Who will I marry?" A 5-year-old asked that question.
Wonderful. So you can go again to kingdompursuits.com and find Peggy's website there. Meanwhile, you got so much truth coming at you. The Encouraging Prayer, which is James Banks, is next, followed by Masculine Journey, starts here now at 12 o'clock.